If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Governor Rosselló is gone. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. I know you're wondering, who is that female raspy voice on 720 this morning? I'm Ana Belaval, host of Around Town on WGM Morning News, attempting to fill the shoes of one King John Williams this morning from 10 to 12 live on WGN Radio, 720 AM. If you want to call, say hello. I want your input this morning. The number in here is 312-981-7200. We're talking about a lot this morning. The bosses said, Ana, you're hosting by yourself. We want you to talk about what you're passionate about. Well, what do you think I said? This is how my brain works. Puerto Rico, my kids, around town. So if you've been living under a rock or just as confused as every non-Puerto Rican I know, you've been wondering, why did Puerto Rico need a new government? Do they have one? Do they like him? How long is he going to last? What happened in the U.S. territory of 3.8 million citizens, U.S. citizens, that has suffered so much after Hurricane Maria? Usually, it takes me about 10 minutes to tell you that I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, so I'm right on time. It's 10:09. So there you have it. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. My mom and dad, my brother, sister-in-law, cousins live down there. So I am blessed enough to have two hometowns, San Juan, Puerto Rico, in Chicago, Illinois, because I've been here for 23 years. I came here right after college. So anything that happens on the island tugs at my heart. And for the last 2 weeks, I've been watching this guy intently. Him and David Bignaud from CBS News have become my new Ricky Martins. And if you Google my name, Ana Belaval, you will find that I went ape you know what on Ricky Martin live on TV. And I'm starting to feel just the same pride and excitement when I get to see David Bignaud from San Juan in Puerto Rico, or Jay Fonseca. Jay Fonseca and I met right after Hurricane Maria, I guess virtually, because I've never met him in person, but I've been following him since then because he is one of the most trusted voices in Puerto Rican politics in our society. He is an attorney. He is a journalist. He is a political commentator. And most importantly, in this whole process, Jay hosts a show of investigative reporters that has uncovered a lot of the corruption that has taken us to this point. My friend, welcome to WGN Radio, Jay.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I finally get to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke and we speak every now and then, but, you know, but the thing is that people will never know that we have not met.
I know.
In person. So
that's how we are.
People would not believe that, right?
We become, Puerto Ricans become friends immediately. As soon as we hear each other talk, we're like, hey, you're from there. Let's do this. So, Jay, good morning. Do we have a governor?
Oh, wow. What a question. I mean, first of all, I have to say that I'm pretty nervous because, you know, first it's Chicago,
yeah,
and I was born in Chicago, but I was raised in Puerto Rico. So I'm from the if you remember Goldblatt's, I guess you do.
Yep.
I mean, my dad used to own the Peoples. I mean, that was a store a couple of stores after. Oh. And what's now I've got us. So I'm sorry for the ad. So what now I've got us, the other store, well, it used to be the People store. So they used to sell sofrito and
they what was the address? And all that. So, what was the address?
I'm not that sure. I think it's in, close to it's Chicago, mm-hmm. And Chicago and Wood.
Okay.
The Chicago Street and Wood.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Chicago Avenue.
I guess the Goldblatt store.
Yep.
Exactly. Chicago Avenue and Wood. Just like three before the Wood intersection. So that's yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's why every time he finishes one of our broadcasts live, he goes, go Cubs, and texts me, can they hear it? Do they hear it? And I'm like, Jay, we're talking serious stuff here. And you're concerned.
I know,
like,
I know.
Did they hear the go Cubs? You're so cute.
Well, yeah. Well, right now I have a cup shirt, so yeah.
Oh,
so anyhow,
see,
well, let's go
good. I'm glad because this is radio, and I don't allow you to wear Cubs gear on the air on TV because I want you to look professional.
Yeah, you don't. I know.
Go ahead,
well,
Jay.
Anna, as you know, and I know people from Chicago are interested in what's going on here, and I wanted to state that I appreciate you caring about Puerto Rico, but also the Chicago community. Mm-hmm. Well, what's going on here is basically we uncovered, and not just me, I mean, Residente, our Puerto Rican reggaetoneros, mm-hmm. our singers, our artists, supported what the media was saying here, and not all media, sadly, but you know, a couple of journalists were saying about corruption and things that just were plain wrong. I mean, I appreciate and I believe that the taxpayer money, even if it comes from the states, we have to keep an eye on it. And some people here don't see it that way. I mean, especially politicians and corrupt politicians, especially, and contractors and lobbyists, well, basically using the money for their own interests. Mm-hmm. So we were uncovering stories, and you know, it was like, okay, yeah, politicians are corrupt. Just like in, sadly enough, you know, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
people were saying, yeah, corruption is normal. But then suddenly the shot came out, and the shot proved to people that these people were in bed with a lobbyist, mm-hmm. in bed with, just contractors and doing stuff that is just plain wrong. Mm-hmm. And we all knew corruption was going on, but now we caught them in bed. You know, we know they were cheating, but you caught them in bed. So what happened is that basically everyone started saying, you know what, we have to do something. And people did. But now the problem is the governor's gone after yesterday at 5 p.m. And now we have a constitutional crisis.
Yeah.
Because, Anna, if you want to make a question, I'm sorry. I know I talk about
that. No, go ahead. It's talk radio.
So, okay, thank you. What happened yesterday, I mean, our Constitution does not provide for a temporary governor. The governor has to be named or appointed, and our Constitution states clearly the path, the succession process. And what happened yesterday at 5 p.m. is unconstitutional. I'm a lawyer. I cannot address myself. Yep.
Right. So just to clarify, Pedro Pierluisi, who is our current governor, he was sworn in as governor at his sister's house right after being approved only by the House of Representatives. Ask the Secretary of State, but because the governor was resigning, the order is that the Secretary of State takes over. So Pierluisi, did they jump the gun? Were they allowed to do, what did they do? Did they just do it under the table?
Well, yes and no. Let me point this clear, you know. There's a law that was approved in 2005 that says that if the governor is gone for any reason and there's a Secretary of State who has not been approved yet by the Senate and the House, he will be the Secretary of State, will become the governor.
Okay.
But that was it was written in such a way that every lawyer that you can speak to in Puerto Rico knows that that's unconstitutional. Because mm-hmm. our Constitution states clearly that the Secretary of State to become the governor has to be approved by both chambers of the legislature. That's what it is. I mean, and what right now Pierluisi is doing is taking the law about what happened in 2005, you know, it's a really long story, but basically in 2005, the governor was from one party and the House and the Senate were from the other party. And they approved a law like saying, wait, if the governor dies now, the Secretary of State will become governor. That's basically what was going on, because they were basically fighting against the person who was named Secretary of State. But they wanted to make clear that if the governor died back then, you know, and actually what happened is that my Zara Bond, who was mm-hmm. the person named back then and appointed to Secretary of State, she was not approved by the House. So she never became Secretary of State, of course, and the governor didn't die. So that law was for that process, not for these process. But whatever. So now we do have a governor.
Okay.
Because no one has taken the case to court to challenge. Now the mayor of San Juan Carmen Yulín Cruz.
Right.
She's saying she's going to take the case. She's going to take the case on Monday. Well, the problem is that I don't think she has what's called standing in court.
Okay. Why?
So I don't think she has a standing. So because she has not been damaged by anything. Who has
Got
the authority
it.
To
mm-hmm.
go to court
mm-hmm.
is the Secretary of Justice.
Okay.
The Secretary of Justice is the one who wanted Pierluisi to become governor. So she's not going
to. Right, because
the case.
She didn't want the job, and she's like, just give it to this guy, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and now the other persons or the other authority figures that can just take the case are the senators. Senators, right. The Senate is going to vote on Monday.
And is
so
that... They are going to vote on Monday. They
yeah.
moved it from Wednesday. And just to clarify, Governor Pierluisi has said that if on Monday the Senate doesn't approve him, he will be out. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking
yes.
to Jay Fonseca. You can follow him on social media because this is very confusing and convoluted. It's what we've grown up with, Jay, unfortunately. You and I understand it like, you know, we could recite it, but I know it's confusing. That's why we have Jay here. Call us to tell us if you have any questions that you want to ask Jay, 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about Puerto Rico. What happens next? What could Governor Pierluisi do to stabilize the island? It is in disarray, not only constitutionally, but also financially, and it's been for years. What's going on next? That's on 720 WGM. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, I'm Ana Belaval in for King John on WGN 720. It's an honor to be here. We're talking Puerto Rico yesterday without the Senate approval, but with the House approval. Governor Pedro Pierluisi became governor of Puerto Rico, was sworn in. Special situation. It looked very Nixon-ish. He was, or actually more like JFK after JFK assassination. I'm talking to Jay Fonseca. He's on the line live from Puerto Rico. Wasn't that picture of Governor Pierluisi in his sister's house being sworn in kind of like Johnson-ish?
mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
It looks a lot like it. Yeah.
It gave me goosebumps because then he spoke to the media eloquently, very differently than our past governor, and acknowledging that Puerto Ricans had been demanding this change. Maybe he's not the change they were demanding, but he felt like he had to do this in order to keep the government running. Again, the status becomes an issue. We are a colony of the United States, a U.S. territory. So Governor Pierluisi, who was our congressman a few years ago, says he is equipped to do this because we got to keep the island going. And he knows how to do that. He can pick up a phone and make the right phone calls in Washington, D.C. What do you think, Jay? Did we need a governor? Was it going to be chaotic if they would have left it hanging until today or Monday?
Well, the Constitution does not provide for that.
Got it.
The Constitution states clearly that someone has to be governor in power, mm-hmm. not a temporary governor. The Constitution here states clearly that it was either the Secretary of State or the Secretary of Justice. I mean, it was either one of those, but one of those had to sworn in as governor, and it happened. The Secretary of State was sworn in. The problem is that he was not confirmed before by the Senate, so that means that there's some kind of gray area right now. So we're waiting until Monday when the Senate is going to take a vote. And if they confirm him, he will be the governor for the rest of the term. I mean, that means for 16 months.
16 months.
And if he's not confirmed, well, he's gone. And the Secretary of Justice will be sworn in as governor.
Wanda Vasquez. Okay, so I want to ask you, whoever's going to be our governor, what are they facing?
Dire straits. It's very, very, very complicated situation, especially mm-hmm. because of the federal funding after Maria. I mean, that's the main thing right now that we're facing. I mean, we're in bankruptcy, and bankruptcy means just like what's going on in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, everybody thinks that what's going on in Puerto Rico is a tryout for what's going to happen in Illinois if Congress ever approves bankruptcy law for the states.
Right.
Right now, no state can declare bankruptcy, right? Just the cities. And right now in Puerto Rico, we are like a state, but we're a territory, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using what was used in Detroit, but even, I mean, for bankruptcy. So that's the process is going on in federal court. And that's Justice Swain from New York bankruptcy. Basically, she's a judge from New York, but she's working this case in Puerto Rico. She was appointed by the president, the chief justice. So in Puerto Rico, we have this process going on, and at the same time, we have this political crisis. Mm-hmm. So, and after Maria, the hurricane that devastated Puerto Rico, as everyone knows, well, we were expecting floods of funding from the states, but it's not happening because President Trump decided he was going to order more scrutiny. So right now we are under supervision by an oversight board,
right,
that was appointed by Congress. We have bankruptcy going on, and we have also President Trump asking for more monitoring of our situation. That's what's going on.
So that would be what a new governor would face. And how is the feeling out on the streets? What are you hearing? I've seen some things on social media. I saw protests yesterday, peaceful again. But what are you hearing?
I believe people want to give him a chance. I believe that's what people want. And, you know, as a journalist, as a commentator, it's hard for us to take sides, but that's what social media, it's saying. I mean, give the guy a chance. Mm-hmm. I think he should clarify a couple of things, and I can just name them, but I guess we have the time. But I think he should clarify, but I also believe that if you check social media, people are really, really, really under waiting for him to do the right things, and they want people to give him a chance. And that's what I believe is going on. So no, I don't think the protests are going to be big for him unless he pardons Governor Rosselló. That's another thing.
Could he do that quickly?
That's the main question. Remember what happened with Nixon and Ford. President Nixon was pardoned by President Ford. And that was his tomb. I mean, he lost the election after that. President Ford was probably the congressman, the most respected congressman in the United States. And he was well-respected. He was, a man of state. And he lost the election against Carter just because he pardoned Nixon. President Nixon. So that's what I think can happen here.
We should say that Pedro Pierluisi wanted to be governor. So this has just come to him out of the blue and in very special circumstances. And last night they asked him, will you run again in 2020? And he said, I'm not thinking about that just yet, which is the answer we all know in journalism means I may think about it. Right?
I think he's going to run.
I think so too.
And you know what? I think he's going to run, and I think he's going to win big, because we all know when he ran a primary against Ricardo Rosselló, I mean, he lost that primary closely, but he did lose.
Right.
The thing right now is that everybody knows, and everybody knew back then, that his challenge was the primary, but the election, he would have won in a landslide. In a landslide. He was well-loved. Not in the party, but in the popular vote.
And that may be his benefit now, because people are very angry at the New Progressive Party, even their own people who have been there forever. Jay, I'm going to have to let you go. It was wonderful to finally talk to you. Thank you for trying to clarify this for us, and keep doing what you do, my friend.
Thank you for caring about Puerto Rico, and go Cubs.
Siempre, siempre caring about Puerto Rico. Go Cubs. Un abrazo. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to lighten things up, because I'm going to Lala, and I want to know what to wear and who to listen to. Our very own producer, Elif, is out in the trenches with the smelly kids. Ooh, that made me sound old. We'll be right back with more WGN 720 from Lala. Taste of what's going to happen today at Lollapalooza. And of course, I have no idea who that was, even though I'm going today. Griffin, who was that?
That's a Korean producer, DJ, and vocalist. You hear her singing there. Her name's Yeji.
What time is she playing? Do you know?
Ooh, wait, I've got the schedule.
Oh, cool, because I like that sound.
At 6:30.
Oh, I'll be there.
I was looking at the schedule today, and I used to go to Lollapalooza all the time, every year.
Yeah.
But it's been a while. And I was looking at it today like, I don't know a lot of these people, but I know and love Yeji, and I recommended her to Elif, who's going to join us in a sec.
Wait, did she have her talk to John Williams once? I remember listening to the show when Elif had someone that John had no idea what it was, but that probably happened a lot.
Elif, was that...
Who was that, Elif?
No, that was Kimbra.
Okay, see, I listen. Good morning, Elif.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. So when you are a certain age and you decide to keep going to Lollapalooza, you have to kind of send your husband early and then you go later so that you don't have to pay $200 for a babysitter. Elif doesn't have that problem. Elif is still young and can go every day to Lala. Is that what you're doing, Elif?
Yeah, this year I am going for the full four-day stretch for the first time.
Oh, this is your first time for 4 days?
Yes.
Okay, so how is Saturday treating you? How are you feeling? Have you been hydrating? Are you sunburned?
I've been hydrating. I'm not sunburned because I haven't been getting there until after work, so like around 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yesterday and the day before, but I am exhausted.
That's a sign, Elif. That is a sign that you're now a mature adult.
I am 27, though, but...
So what have you loved so far?
The Strokes.
Really? When was that?
Yes. That was Thursday night. They headlined Thursday night on the Southmost stage. And what I love so much about them, first of all, I had never seen them live before. Okay. And so many people that I talked to that night, strangers, mostly strangers because I was alone, they said that they hadn't seen them live before either. And this was a group of people who were about my age. Again, I'm 27, mm-hmm. So people between 20s and 30s who like the Strokes,
right,
and have been following them for probably about 15 years now. And they don't tour very much anymore. So I think people just miss them the one time they do tour, and this was finally the time to capture them, and we who were there got to do that.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, I have a friend who I'm going with tonight. My friend Erica was sending us pictures, and she went Thursday evening, and she said there was no line at the bars, and it wasn't as crowded. But then I saw a video from Mark Rivera from ABC 7, and one of the main stages was packed with a mass of people. So comparing it to last year, crowd-wise, what are you seeing?
So unfortunately, I can't speak to last year, but but it hasn't been so bad. And I think that was probably the Chainsmokers stage, because there were a lot of younger people that left the Southmost stage that I was at for the Strokes to go to the other end of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty long walk, so
yeah.
Where I was standing, it emptied out pretty quickly, and it really wasn't a bad crowd for me that night.
What are you looking forward to today? Like, what's your schedule today? You don't have to work. The day is young. And I think, what, gates open at 11 or 12?
It opens at 11. And I'm looking at, I have some interviews that I'm doing today.
Ooh.
And the band that I'm the most excited to see and to interview is Men I Trust. They are playing at 1:45 today. So I'm hopefully going to interview them right after their set ends.
What's their sound like?
It's kind of ethereal and dreamy.
Okay.
It's not in the way that it puts you to sleep. Well, it doesn't put me to sleep because I like the music.
Right.
But it's just really calming and pretty, colorful. I think I have synesthesia, so I don't know if you... Do you know what that is?
No, please enlighten the 45-year-old.
So it's where you associate sounds with colors and smells and other senses.
Okay, so that's why you like that kind of music.
Right. So this woman that's the vocalist for Men I Trust has a light high kind of, not high pitch, right. but a higher, she's in the higher range. So she's able to just kind of like, you know, float her voice around and it's really pretty.
Oh, Griffin, how do you like that?
Stuff like that is really good earlier in the day
right.
for the daytime. So I don't go to festivals as much, but I had a good, I don't know, 7-8 year run or something. And now I just feel too tired usually to do it. But, some of my best memories of festivals are early in the day like that, when there's less people, you feel more free to roam around and less crowded.
Do they book them at Lala like that, where they're thinking, oh, it's noon, we should have something not as loud? Or am I thinking like an old lady with kids?
I mostly just think it totally relates to how well-known the artist is. If you're better known, you're later in the day.
But okay, yeah, you're right.
Almost always.
Elif, who else?
Yeah.
So today I'm actually taking it easy, but I did want to see Jade Bird and Griffin mentioned Yeji to me.
Uh-huh.
This tonight, what people I think are most excited for, I know you're going to go see J Balvin, but there's also Madean and 21 Pilots headlining
right.
tonight.
I want to see 21 Pilots. My concern is what you just said. I remember I was watching Bruno Mars, and I wanted to go see the other person who the name escapes me, and it's a long walk at the end of the night.
You tell yourself that you can do both, but
you really can't.
Well, we had this conversation about last night, Elif. Did you see... who was it? It was Tame Impala or Childish Gambino. You kind of wanted to do both. What did you end up choosing?
I ended up taking your advice. And actually, I spoke to Griffin yesterday afternoon, and he said, just go to Tame Impala. And I said, okay. So that was what I ended up doing.
Just commit
I really
to one.
Wanted to, here's my beef with Lollapalooza. Okay. It's that they schedule bands that people... not bands that are so similar, but bands that music lovers will not be able to choose between because they're informed.
Yes.
Music lovers.
Right.
So if we're talking about Childish Gambino, this is somebody that's been in the news for a while, mm-hmm. who made national news with that song, This Is America. And that's a song that I really wanted to see live, just to see how he moves on stage mm-hmm. and what he sounds like in person. And then Tame Impala is a band that I've been following for a long time. So that it just seemed like the more logical thing for me to do to go see Tame Impala. But
I can totally relate to that because I can see how that is difficult for people who are music lovers. So I like J Balvin. His sound is completely different than 21 Pilots. He attracts a very Latino, very reggaeton, hip-hop kind of loving crowd. So I don't think people are going to be divided. But I would have loved to see Childish Gambino just because I know him as an actor and a comedian, and I would have loved to see that performance. But my husband wanted to
right.
see the other show that you're talking about. We would have not known what to do. It would have been unfair. You're right.
I have so many memories of being torn like that. And you said the Strokes were your favorite so far this year. The last time they played Lollapalooza, I think it was the last time, I was there, and they were headlining against Lady Gaga. I don't know if you remember
that. Oh, yes, I remember
what?
That.
That
Could
was,
you imagine?
That was really torturous. And I ended up mostly, I tried to, this is when I learned that you can't do both. It's because I was like, I can't choose, yeah. I must try both. And ended up running across the thing and totally missing, leaving Lady Gaga early and then missing the Strokes altogether. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And that was when she had just broken out too, or that was after her first album, I think. So that was just a really exciting time. But I'm just rerouting the conversation back to old Lollapalooza because that's all I can speak
you
to.
Can
like, well, 10 years ago, it was like
I'm a newbie because my first time was last year, and I got so excited that now I'm going a second time. But, Elif, so tonight you're going to see 21 Pilots. I'm not going to be reggaetoneando and grinding on the grass with you. No, okay. I'm not going to see you at J Balvin.
Well, if I'm being honest, I'm not staying the whole day. Today is I'm going to take the night off. But if I were to choose,
yeah,
I know. If I were to choose, I would go Judah and the Lions straight to 21 Pilots tonight.
Got it.
Yes,
Judah and the Lions. Okay, there's another guy that my husband wants to see. Last name Grant. Isn't this awful? What's his name? He sounds a little country to me.
Last name is Grant?
Or Carter or something like that. Help
okay,
me, Griffin. Don't laugh at the old lady.
I'm trying. I'm looking.
He has like three names.
This is what happens. It's truly, I look at this and I'm just like, wow,
oh,
I thought that
gosh.
I was up on stuff.
Maybe my husband
maybe
will text me and end my
today?
Mystery today.
Jeremy Zucker.
Okay, hold on. I'm literally looking at the schedule.
Okay,
hold on.
Or my friend Mike Strama who wants to see him. Oh, wait, no. Is someone, maybe my producer.
The pressure.
No, that's not it. Oh, the lineup for today.
I'm so sorry. This is my job.
This is
Rustin Kelly?
No, a guy.
Is it Gary Clark Jr.?
That's it, Gary Clark Jr. Hey.
Grant.
There you go.
All American names sound the same to me.
That's fair.
Oh my gosh. Yes, my husband wants to see him and my friend Mike wants to see him because his wife bought tickets for his birthday the last time that he was here in Chicago and she screwed up the date and they had the tickets for the wrong date and he missed them.
I was actually very surprised to see how early in the day. He's at 4:45.
Yes, yeah.
He's very well known.
I know.
He's played at like the Grammys
except
and
Anna.
Stuff. And then, but yeah, so he'll be a little earlier on that same stage than it's Lil Wayne at 6:45, which
Lil
is,
Wayne.
That's another thing that
that's
I was surprised
weird.
To see that he's not headlining. I mean, he's definitely past mm-hmm. his prime.
I'm surprised he's making it because he had to cancel a couple of concerts last week.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean.
Yeah, right. Are you going to see Ariana Grande tomorrow or am I cheapening this experience for you, Elif, by saying all these mainstream pop stars?
Nope, you're not. I'm going to go see Ariana Grande tomorrow.
Attagirl. Yay!
With my 40-year-old male cousin.
Thank you for including him.
No shame in that.
No shame.
Right. So that's another night. I think people who like Ariana Grande like Flume, too, and they're playing at the same time. So like Griffin was saying, Lady Gaga, with her first album, definitely made news because mm-hmm. she was all about the self-love, self-confidence,
yeah.
and... Born This Way, I know that wasn't out yet at the time, but that was her message. And for her to be playing at the same time as The Strokes, I just think that people who understand the message of The Strokes are also going to understand the message of Lady Gaga, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. So they're going to be torn to where to go.
Yeah.
Who is Ariana against, if you will? Like
Flume.
Okay. I don't know them. You're wondering.
Yeah, they're like this electronic DJ kind of thing.
That's one thing about the festival that's changed so much in the past 5 years or maybe 6-7 years is it's so much more oriented towards electronic dance music now. Because and with good reason, that's the starting to be almost the predominant pop music of our time.
Right.
So and at the festival, I remember when I would go earlier, they had a tent that had DJs, but that was it.
That's
basically.
True.
And it was really small on the side tent. And then it grew every year. And then all of a sudden, these people who would usually be secluded over there were now playing the main stages later and later in the day to the point now where, you have them
is
headlining.
Is this the music from Spring Awakening?
Yeah.
That's the kind of music?
Yeah,
okay.
That's similar. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Elif, you were talking about your little cousin. Lots of kids. Did you see a lot of kids the last few days? I mean,
I don't mean
teenagers.
40.
Oh, he's 40. I thought you meant four. And I'm like, okay.
No
shame in his game.
I invited his 9-year-old daughter to go with me because my friend had an extra ticket that she was going to give to me. And he said, no, I'd have to wait for her to pick her up. And it's a Sunday night. I have work. But I'll go with you.
Oh, that's awesome. You know that my daughter doesn't know this, but our friends offered her a ticket to Bruno Mars last year. And I'm like, no, I don't want her to ruin my Lala experience. You know, because I'd have to mother and I don't want to mother at Lollapalooza.
Right. I understand that. There are some kids. I haven't seen a whole lot, but I was only there after work yesterday and the day before.
Yeah.
But they have like a free, they have free hours for kids under 10, I think, between 11 and a 7 and 7. So.
And you'll see a lot of teens, which for Elif, they're not, but for me, they're kids. They could be my kids. But Elif, have fun. Be safe. Are you going alone again today?
I am. Basically, I'm just working, and I'm probably maybe I'll meet up with some people, but just with hours not being, you know, I want to see one person, they want to see the other, so it's difficult.
I know, and you know, use that media pass wisely. to use the good
bathrooms.
Thank
you. I will.
Elif, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Elif Garris, one of our producers here at WGN 720. We're going to take a quick break, but if I am tired of mothering a Lollapalooza and I don't want to do it, I am done mothering this summer. And all I do is throw the iPads at the kids. Not literally, just let them be on the iPad. When we come back, a parenting expert that you all know and love is going to give me some tips to get them off the iPad and frying their brains. It is my fault. Who can I blame? We're going to take a quick break here listening to WGN 720. Thank you, Maple. Thank you very much. We are back. It's the John Williams Show today with Ana Belaval from WGN Morning News. Oh, how many more weeks of summer vacation? I have two kids. I have a daughter who is 11 and a half, although she hates when I say that, and a son who's 6, Amelia and Alex. And they've had camp sporadically, if you will. They have a huge age gap, so they argue a lot. So I pretty much give them an iPad whenever I can't play with them. I can't entertain them, and they're done entertaining themselves. And I was talking to Griffin before I did. We came up with the ideas for this show, and I said, I need someone to help me get them off the iPad, but doesn't make me involve myself. I have things to do. I wake up really early for work. I entertain them. I take them out, and we have fun. But at least my son constantly wants me to play with him. And I tell him, I didn't even like to play with kids when I was a kid. I was born an adult. But we play trains, and we play catch. But then it gets to a point where it's just, here, have the iPad, and I'm sure I'm frying my brain, so, and their brains. So we recruited our very own Ann Johnsis, who has a podcast here at WGN called Apparently. I love the name. And her co-host is Tracy Weiner. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Ann has been gracious enough to call us from the road. She's on her way to Wisconsin with her entire family. Please, Ann, tell me that both kids are on their phones or iPads right now.
You know, it's funny, Anna. Nice to say hello, by the way.
Hi.
The whole way up, so we were at a gas station in rural Wisconsin where everyone had to just go to the bathroom and we had to fill up. But they've been watching on their phone a telenovela called Viva Chumilora, I think it is.
Oh my God, do they speak Spanish?
No, it's dubbed. It is like...
I need the name of this.
I will find out the real one. So what does it mean, girls? Go live your way. And I swear, they're watching it. They're speaking in Spanish with dubbed English.
So is it
and singing a bunch of songs.
Is it A Tu Manera?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to look that up. Is that Netflix? Sorry, girls. I'm sorry, Ann. This was about you and me, but now it's about the girls.
I know, of course. Is that on Netflix, girls? Yeah, it is. So your kids, it's ridiculous. It's like a soap opera, but it is very funny. So you can add that to your arsenal when you do the screen time.
All right. Tell me, am I a horrible mother? Have I fried their brains? I know they're supposed to be watching just like an hour a day. And
yes.
So I'm a horrible mother. Yes, I'm a horrible mother. Thank you, Ann.
Yes, you're a terrible mother. Okay, bye.
Bye.
You have not fried their brains, but the one thing you can do on the iDevices is you can go to your, in your controls, you can do screen time so that at least there's a warning when they say they've hit their limit, you know, so you can limit them and then they have to ask you for more access.
Okay.
But in terms of, so you want things that can be done without you. So have they done slime yet?
1,000 times, Anne. 1,000 times. I just threw out slime from last year. They have done slime. Yeah. Here's the thing. When you have an 11-year-old and a 6-year-old and you know that, you think the project will be done by them. But all of a sudden, you're reading and you hear, Ma, does this look right? Ma, I don't know what to do with the contact solution. And you end up making slime.
Exactly right. All right. What about this? Have you investigated, and this can be done through like the library, like a kids' kitchen takeover where there are easy recipes for kids to do that you might be able to have them do without you?
Yes, my 11-year-old is a great cook, and at this point, she is actually, as we speak, she's baking for a lemonade stand she has tomorrow at the corner of Palina and Belmont. We have a local florist that we love there. Her name is Mirai, and she has blossoms anytime. So Amelia does a lemonade stand with brownies and blondies, and they sell $10 bouquets to promote the flower shop and my daughter's budding baking business.
Well, that's fantastic.
Right?
So she's baking right now without your help?
She's baking right now without my help. I don't know. My husband's home with them, and I saw a picture of her by my mixer on her own with her brother. So that's a good sign.
That's a very good sign. So you sound a little too young, but there's another thing my kids have discovered that is as obsessive as any electronic, and it's called Magic the Gathering. Have you heard of this?
No. Magic what?
Magic the Gathering.
The Gathering,
A card game, and it's much like you and I. I think I don't know what it was like in Puerto Rico, but did you have brothers or friends who played Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, my brother. Yeah, I have a brother who's 6 years older than me. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of like that in that you play the cards, and then characters go up against each other, and it's very complicated. So not for a little guy, but your 11-year-old would probably find it super interesting. It's like a fantasy. A fantasy game where they do try to kill each other, so that's a little advanced. But there's magic, and there's a lot of math involved because they have to weigh the points and talk about what the strengths are. So I think that's a good game, but it wouldn't work for your little guy. So
that one goes way back to when I was a kid. I remember people
really
playing
good?
That. I didn't get into Magic the Gathering, but yes, it was very popular among some people my age when I was in grade school too.
How old are you, Griffin?
I'm 27.
Okay.
And so, Griff, let me ask you this, because my 13-year-old, she hangs out with a bunch of boys who play it, and it's definitely kind of a skews toward boys.
Yeah.
I know Tracy's son, Ethan, who is 11, also plays it. Is it as nerdy as it sounds?
I think so, but that's not a bad thing.
No.
It's not derogatory.
No.
But yeah, no, absolutely. But
no.
I never got into it as
you
much.
Know
but
what?
I'm happy to hear that it's still going strong.
I know. You know what's interesting? Oh, like Uno, Griffin. My son loves to play Uno.
Everybody does.
Here's the thing. What's really interesting is I have a harder time getting the 11-year-old off of screens than the 6-year-old. My 6-year-old, and I don't know, Anne, if this is his personality, but he'll watch... First of all, he watches more science and educating kind of videos. And then he leaves the iPad on, like background music, and then goes plays with his trains, with his cars. Whereas the 11-year-old compulsively watches stand-up comedians. That's my fault. And videos and plays Roblox. And so it's interesting because he was born in the era of the iPad and she was born a little beforehand. So is it an age thing? Is it just his personality?
Well, it's probably his age at this point. He wants to be doing things with his hands.
Yeah.
And it might be a boy thing versus a girl thing.
Yeah.
They're both members of what they call the iGen. Have you heard of the iGen?
No.
So that's a generation that has not really existed without an eye device.
Got it.
So we are, we are playing hurt here because they've never been non-digital. So the idea is to try and get them to do stuff that is not digital. Do they do apples to apples?
No. What is that?
Okay. All right. Have you ever played Cards Against Humanity?
No.
Yeah, card game.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to get into card games. You're right.
You do. So Apples to Apples is a great game where there's a junior version, then there's a regular version. It's when someone plays a card and then the other people have to try to match in terms of theme. So Cards Against Humanity is an adult version of this. It's all very dark and dirty and
twisty.
So I might play it, it will offer half of a sentence and then everyone else fills in the blank with what they think would be the right answer. And with Apples to Apples, it's similar, but for kids. And it's very funny to see how people's brains work. You have to have more than two kids play it, but you live in the city, you have neighbors, right?
Right, but I live in a condo, so they're the only kids in the building. The other two kids are babies, so they're at a disadvantage. The cool thing is that they go to school in the neighborhood, so we are lucky to have people who are like, hey, just drop him off for a play date, or, you know, they can come over for a play date. So he'll have people to play with. The hardest part is the weekdays when they have like half day camp, and then I come home after around town and it's like, Mom, what are we going to do? And I have to do laundry or I have to cook dinner. That's the part where it gets tricky. I love these kids and I find them a lot of fun and we have a lot of fun together, but it's just the demands. Sometimes it's easier to just grab the iPad and be like, because, you know, what's really funny is that she gets a lot of the recipes from the iPad, too.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, iTunes is not necessarily evil because it has a bunch of stuff out there. And I don't know if she has gotten into watching people play Minecraft.
Oh, yes. And he has, too. What is up with that? Why do they like to watch people do that?
I don't know. We thought it was so weird. But I also think Minecraft is not a bad game when they're building things. It is like Legos. So I don't think that they're frying their brains when they're doing that. I think that's creative.
Right.
So I wouldn't go against that. It's watching others. My 10-year-old likes to watch people do makeup.
Oh, Amelia does too. Yes. They know more about makeup than you and I at this point.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't find that bad either.
Nope.
I mean,
she's done my makeup for some events.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You're a way better mom than I am.
Well, she has a better palette than me, you know, like makeup. And I am, I'm not great at makeup and hair, as you can see, evidently, on WGN Morning News every morning.
You look fantastic.
Well, it's the same thing every day. I don't take chances. It's just, I don't deviate. And my daughter will use 3 eyeshadows, then glimmer and highlighter. And I was like, what is that? I just do a 3-step that I was taught on my first TV gig in Univision. So...
Yeah. Like, do the semi-smoky eye and leave it at that.
Do you remember our parents complaining about how much TV we watched?
Yes, I totally do.
We sound like them. And look how well we turned out.
But but everyone should be like this. I mean, everyone should be as good, right?
Exactly.
I have a website for you to look up that will offer a bunch of local stuff. It will require... you going to some places. I'm not sure if that's
really
good.
What you want. That's good because they can do stuff at those places. Like, I'm going to talk about coming up, I'm going to talk about my 5 favorite around towns for the summer. And 2 of them have to do with just letting the kids roam around and you may be able to have a beverage.
Yes, exactly right. Yes. In fact, I can't wait to hear that. So the website I have discovered is called Up Parent. Like, so I know our podcast is called Parently. Mm-hmm. This website is UP Parent, UPParent.com. And it lists everything from family events with a calendar and a map. So you can zoom in on your neighborhood and find out what's there. It has play places, party venues. It has a list of where kids can eat for free.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Because I have a picky eater, and that's a waste of money.
It's totally a waste. Yeah, no, seriously. So look at that one. It has classes. It lists the outdoor movies. We often, and this probably won't work for you with your hours, but we go to the Millennium Park concerts.
Oh, that's nice. But I have to take a day off in order to take them to that. Because she also wants to see the Buckingham Fountain at night. I've been promising forever. But before I say goodbye to you, Anne, what are you doing in Wisconsin?
So the other way you can distract your children is to let them play in a band.
Yes.
And we are at a music fest in Wisconsin to watch a bunch of bands all day. And my 13-year-old plays guitar and sings. And her band is called Neptune's Core.
Nice. Way to go, 13-year-old. What does she play?
She plays electric guitar, and then she's the head vocalist.
Nice. Way to go,
yeah,
Anne.
Fun.
Are they going to have beer there? Are they going to have beer?
Yes.
Good. That's what you focus on.
Exactly. And, you know, Anna, if you want me to, I can send you a link to Up Parent, or I can send you some more examples if you're interested.
Perfect. And where can people find your podcast, and when is the next live one?
We just dropped one on cybersecurity on Thursday.
Okay.
So that might be, do they have social yet?
I think so.
Okay, so if they have, like, does your daughter, well, Roblox is actually something, you want to listen to this, the cybersecurity episode, it's on WGN Plus, And he talks about Roblox and
I need to listen to that, because she ends up saying, oh, I talked to a friend of mine from Netherlands. And I'm like, I didn't think this was interactive. What's going on? Freaks
me out.
Yeah,
it is interactive. Okay. And he warns that you should warn her. She's not doing anything on purpose. But when someone tries to get her to engage outside of the game, like they say, let's go to WhatsApp or let's go to Discord or whatever. That's when you have to watch out. And the kids don't even know that it's not okay. So apparently it's on WGN Plus, and we have all sorts of topics there. So I appreciate the plug.
Perfect. No problem. Thank you. Thank you so much for your great advice. And John So's on her way to Wisconsin to listen to her daughter play in a band, which is awesome. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. What do you want to see on Around Town? I'm taking your input coming up next. WGN Radio, 720 AM. I'm Ana Belaval in for John Williams. All right, so this is my day job. My day job is to go all over Chicago, the Chicagoland area, and maybe cross the border to Indiana, Wisconsin, so on, doing Around Town, the best gig in town. I know you want to do it. I know you want me to go to these places you think I should go to around town. Well, coming up during this half hour, you get your chance to tell me you don't go to the south side enough. Why haven't you been to the north side to this bar? And I'll tell you, if I could make it there, if we could make it in around town, I'll take your advice. I'll write it down. I'll give you my producer's name because she's in Wisconsin and can't hear me. And I'll also tell you my top five places this summer that I've covered around town. I've been doing around town for 14 years. As I said earlier, my anniversary was July 27th at GN. And I've been doing it for 14 years. And everyone asks, what's your favorite? And what's your least favorite? And I draw a blank. I have to start, Griffin, writing these down because I usually remember the really bad ones. And I don't ever want to share that because I feel like that they'll hear me somewhere and they'll be like, wow, she really spoke really poorly about us.
Well, that is useful for people. I mean, you might hurt someone's feelings, but for the rest of the public, it is good to not only know what's good, but what they should avoid too.
I think they can tell on TV.
You don't have to say
it. The images just speak for themselves. Mm. And people are like, oh, you're always so enthusiastic about it. I am, because I love what I do. I love this city. It's been my home for many years now. And I love to show people where to go. It's their choice if they go. I love when people run into me and say, you know what? I've gone to almost everywhere you've told me to go. And I really like that. It's great feedback to hear. But I also hear from a lot of you, why haven't you been here? Why haven't you been there? Well, the places have to be visual, because it's not radio, it's not print. So, and it has to be dynamic. And Larry and Robin have to like them. Not lying. They will say on the air if they think my around town is awful. So
well, maybe we can get some ideas in the next half hour.
It would be awesome. I'm going to give you the number here. It's 312-981-87. No, that's not it. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Call me and give me your ideas for around town. They can be anywhere. We can maybe get my boss to send me somewhere else around town. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk around town, my top five and your top five coming up. Chicago in the summer, the best city in the whole wide world. I'm Ana Belaval, WGN 720, but my day job, as you know, is a roundtown reporter for WGN Morning News. I get to go all over this awesome city and Chicagoland area, discovering the little gems that we have here and not so little gems so that you can take advantage of everything our area has to offer. I've been doing it for 14 years, so I think I've covered a lot. Only thing is that I still get calls from people, texts from people telling me, you should be going here, you should be going there. Why aren't you on the south side more often? So today we're opening the lines to you here at WGN 720 so that you tell me where I should go next. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Like, I get a lot of texts like this one. Someone said, Edgefest kicks off today. Final push for the pet mayoral contest. Four dogs, a cat, and a goat running for pet mayor. Vote with your dollars. All money raised go to Care for Real. So that was a text I got. And that's the kind of story that I cover. So let's see where, let's go out to our first call, Griffin. How about Kathleen? Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning, Anna.
How are you doing?
Great. How are you? I'm so excited to talk to you.
Oh, I'm excited to talk to you too. Where should I be going next for around town? And why?
Well, I think that you should come out to St. Charles and go to Pottawatomie Park. Because at the park, you could go swimming. There's a great pool there, Swenson Pool. Mm-hmm. You can have picnics. You can do miniature golf. You can fish. You can kayak. They even have old-time paddle boats where you could take rides on the river.
Nice.
It's a great, beautiful park. Great for families. Great for parties. Kids or no kids. It's just a fantastic, beautiful place on the river.
Oh, that's gorgeous. In St. Charles, that'd be neat. I think I've been there a couple of times, but I don't remember what I've done there. Probably something a lot crazier than Pottawatomie.
We have a lot of bars. Maybe you went to bars.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, Kathleen. It was great talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you, Anna.
All right. So then I
hope
have
to see you.
Like, oh, yes. I have a call from Mary. Mary says Northwest Illinois, like the whole area, Mary, or can you pinpoint an around town there? Mary, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
So I'm driving up to my parents' lake house. It's in Apple Canyon Lake. It's in the northwest corner of Illinois near Galena.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's a great, great place. Lots of memories. My parents have had a home out there for almost 50 years, and that part is awesome. It's close to Galena, where there's a lot of things to do there as well.
I know. Galena is beautiful. I don't think I've ever been. This is like a one-tank trip kind of thing that I have to do. We'd need a weekend. Sawyer, Mary, and Natalie and I would need a weekend to go there.
That would be awesome. We have a great girlfriend weekend.
Can your parents host us?
My parents have a home up there at Apple Canyon Lake.
So they can host us, right? Can they? Is there a bed for us? Perfect.
Absolutely. They would love to.
I love it, Mary. Thank you so much.
We're right on the lake, so come join us.
Nice. Be careful driving. Thanks for calling. All right. And we have Bill. Bill wants me to go square dancing. I actually have gone square dancing. Where do you want me to go square dancing, Bill?
Well, there's about 11 clubs throughout the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple dances going every night during the week.
I went to a place in Aurora or Schaumburg, one of the two. I remember I've been square dancing twice.
Okay.
Yeah. See?
Well, we could always use another event.
I know. I love square dancing. You know, if it's dancing, I'm there. So thank you so much, Bill.
Okay. All right. Take care.
All right. Emily. Oh, I get a lot for about these. Tell me what this resale shop in Lake Forest has that I have to go see.
Well, we've been going for about 40 years.
Whoa.
We sponsor two charities that help the North Shore children and families that are in need of whatever help it may be, housing or clothing, and we get all kind of fabulous things from Lake Forest, Lake Bluff, Winnetka, Chicago, even some, antique shops that have, and we get the most amazing furniture, artwork, like you wouldn't believe, clothing, and nobody seems to tell anybody because I don't tell many people. Before I was working there, either because there's so many fabulous deals that people want.
Oh, really? And you want me to put them on around town? Be careful what you wish for.
Well, no, honestly, we have the most fabulous things, and it's just so sad that we really could use the business because, that's the only reason I'm calling in.
What's the name of the resale shop, Emily? I need the name.
Yes, it's in Lake Forest. Mm-hmm. It's called the Lake Forest Resale Shop.
Okay.
It's on Westminster Avenue, right downtown.
Perfect. Is that every day?
Yes, we're open every day, 10 to 5, and then Sunday, 12 to 4.
Perfect. Emily, thank you so much. Have a wonderful Saturday. Enjoy the day. All right. So I was telling Griffin, and you can keep calling with your ideas. Lord knows we, believe it or not, we do run out of ideas, especially in the wintertime. So we do a lot of these resale shops and museum exhibitions and a lot of indoor stuff that we may not do when the weather's nice in the wintertime, because Chicago becomes a little sparse of ideas in the wintertime because of our lovely weather, our lovely winter season, which seems to last forever. So summer, we try to be outside. So please keep calling 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And I'll tell you now what I've done in the last few weeks this summer that I have loved, I've have found interesting. I think you can take the kids. It could be affordable. The first one I just did in Niles, it's Hello Tokyo. And by the way, we don't get paid to put any of these people on TV. This is based on what my producer and I think is worth for television. So everyone that I'm saying here is that I've personally liked. Hello Tokyo. So this is the first $2 store in the Midwest with a brand called Daiso. Daiso products apparently are really good products from Japan. And in Asia, they sell them at a dollar. But here in the States, for several reasons, it has to be $2. And this store has anything you can think of that the dollar store has, but Japanese. Anything from products to toys to school supplies to snacks. So it's really neat to take the kids. If they're shopping back to school, they have just the aisle of school supplies, of post-it notes, of pens. Apparently, the Japanese culture is very much into writing, as you know, and so the calligraphy and so on. So they sell incredible pens. Some stuff is not $2, but I don't think I found anything there over $10. It is an adventure. They get, you know, a cultural experience, and they also get really good deals. And you know how all those school supplies, they lose them. They can't, you have to share them with the school. If you go to, for Chicago Public Schools, we have to bring like a big bag for everyone to use. So it's really cool. Hello Tokyo is in Niles, is in a strip mall. You can Google it. They're also on Instagram. All right. So last week just opened Neon Summer on Elston and Lemoyne. So these people are in charge of these pop-ups that have interacting stuff for adults to do so that we don't look super ridiculous because we're only looking for a cute Instagram picture. So Neon Summer just opened, I think, Thursday. We were there Monday. It has mini golf. Griffin, help me. Now the English is going away. Axe throwing. There. Look, I look at you like I'm throwing something at you, and the word comes right at me. It's the issue with being bilingual.
I have seen those places. They're popping up now.
Right. So I've covered the bars. I've been to two of those bars in the city for around town, but this one is in this pop-up, and there's a miniature mini-golf thing that is adorable. 9 holes, really cute Insta-pictures for the girls with the phones. And bars and go-karts, which is something you don't find in the city. So you could do it with the kids, you could do it with the adults. The go-karts are really neat. They have a really neat track, and kids are allowed. Opens every day, and I think admission is $10. $10. So it's pretty cool. Another pop-up, but this one is a store, a pop-up store called The Guild. All women business owners, small business owners that focus on fair trade. And so you have designers, you have distributors, people that make things here in Chicago, and you find international world products. They have made certain that they're part of a fair trade conglomerate, and they sell them there. And you can find the most beautiful things from South America, South Africa, anywhere you can think of. They have it there, and it's all women driven. It's a pop up. You know where that Webster movie theater is by Pequod's?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, that there's an empty area there next to the old Bally's, right?
Right.
There's an empty store, so they use that storefront. And if I'm not mistaken, it's around 21 retailers. I'm talking jewelry, clothing, home accessories. It's called The Guild. They're also on Instagram if you want to find them.
Very nice.
I love theater. Those are my favorite around towns when I get to play with actors and improvise and all that. So one theater that I really loved since they've opened is Windy City Playhouse. I haven't seen the shows, but when I go there, it's an immersive experience of theater. So you're not sitting and watching with a fourth wall between you, action on a stage. You're walking into the set. So they had their first big hit was called Southern Gothic. It's now in the South Loop. And you go into a house and you walk around looking at the play.
Right.
So this one, it's called the Recommendation. And it's about two friends from college that have to help each other right out of college. It's a mystery. You pretty much walk into their dorm and you do jello shots with them. And I'm not kidding. Then you go into their kitchen, into the backyard of one of their hot LA houses, and you can order drinks to drink in the patio. And then you have a jail sale and a sushi restaurant. And the actors have to deal with the fact that the audience is among them, right? The cool thing is that they know how to keep the fourth wall because they move around the audience. So you're not really in the way. And also, they are not interacting with you like touchy-feely. I don't like that kind of theater.
Yeah.
And that brings up, I just did Teatro Senzani, and Teatro Senzani just opened a Cabaria, and it's also like a dinner theater cabaret that was really cool, too. If you go to my Instagram, Ana.Belaval, you'll see video of me tumbling off a man's feet. I know.
I'm excited to see
You should see that. It's interesting. It's part of the job. And I think there's one place in Whiting, Indiana you can take the kids. It's really cool. The Mascot Hall of Fame in Whiting, Indiana. Yes, you heard right. So Mascot Hall of Fame.
I'm trying to think of who would be in there besides Benny.
Oh, hon.
Who's in there?
So, Benny the Bull, yeah. The Blackhawks mascot.
Of course.
The Cubs.
See, Cubs, it seems like he's new. His name's Clark, I think.
Yes. All the NBA mascots.
Sure.
College mascots as well.
So, just anybody can get
it. But it's also very tongue-in-cheek. They know that this is ridiculous, yeah. And they have a lot of interactive games for the kids where you can put on a head to see how heavy the head is. You can put on the weight that the mascot has to carry around. They have a video game of the t-shirt shoot, the t-shirt gun. So it's a lot of fun for the kids.
Everyone's always wanted to operate one of those things. So
your dreams can come true when you watch around town. Last but not least, I know I've done more than five. I'm sorry, Griffin, but I love my job. It's called the Offshore Club at Navy Pier. You see it?
I've seen it, yeah, but I don't know exactly what's going
Beautiful
on.
Beautiful view. It was like a vacant space on the second floor of Navy Pier that has a 160-degree view of the city, and then 180, and then 180 of the lake.
So this is the, rooftop bar kind of thing that
rooftop
just opened
bar,
up?
Rooftop bar. The biggest in the Midwest, if
right.
not the world.
I remember that,
It is really, really nice, and it's going to be all year round because it has an enclosed structure. So you can be inside if you don't want to, bake in the sun or freeze or whatever. And it is really, really pretty. The only pain is getting to Navy Pier. But Uber can drop you off right where the bar is so that you don't have to go through the whole thing. So, yeah. So
that sounds great. Yeah, no. I remember when it opened just recently, and I want to check it out.
All right. So let's check in with Rodney, who has an idea for around town. Hi, Rodney.
Me?
Hi, Rodney. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Okay, there you are.
So where should I go?
Road America.
Okay, what is that?
One of America's oldest racetracks.
Ooh.
4 miles long.
Where is that?
In Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
It's about 2.5 hours, okay. 2 hours north of Chicago.
Okay, I think I can make it.
Yeah, I actually work on a Porsche race team.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put you in a car.
See, I like that. I like that. If you can get me to be interactive with your ideas, we're there. All right, we're going to Google that and call you. Thank you, Rodney. All right, Carrie, you're last but not least. Also with cars in Sycamore.
Yeah, and I agree with Rodney. I've been to Road America. It is absolutely gorgeous. Definitely go there if you haven't been.
Okay.
However, I'm in Sycamore, and actually they're a sponsor of yours, mm-hmm. Sycamore Speedway. It's different kind of racing. They do kind of big boy racing at Road America, like Indy cars and stuff like that.
Okay.
But at Sycamore Speedway, it's Friday nights is fun night. It's spectator stock car racing. It's a dirt track. Mm-hmm. They do a demolition derby. They do a figure eight race. And then Saturday night, it's kind of more serious late model stock car racing. It wouldn't work for you in the morning, but I'm sure they could hook you up with a, you know, go out in the morning on a Friday and they'd hook you up. They'd probably let you drive a car even.
Or maybe they can bring some of those people just to show us on the air what they do, because I don't think I have been in a dirt, what would you say, Wade? Dirt?
It's a dirt clay track. Okay. So they slide around. It's not like the racing you watch on television. It's good old fashioned. It's $12 to get in, but you can always find a $2 coupon. And it's $10 to get in, $2 beers, $2 hot dogs. It's good old fashioned.
I love it.
American fun.
Yep, that's what Around Town is all about. Thank you much, Carrie. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Anna.
All right, are we going to commercial break? All right, we're going to take a quick break. I only had to ask you once in 2 hours, Griffin. Aren't you proud? Radio magic. We'll be right back. It's my first time doing the whole board thing.
I mean, the first time that I ever did that board, I was filling in for Milt Rosenberg about 10 years ago, and it was 2:00 in the morning. And I was like, sir, I'm happy to do that, but I don't know how to do the board. He goes, that's the easy part.
They all say that.
And I was like, but it's not the easy part.
It's not.
He's like, no, you already know how to interview people. And I proceeded to like completely stink up his show for 2 hours. And I was terrible at it because it was the first time I'd ever like hosted by myself. And I had this author. I had 48 hours to read that book, do all the things, get ready. And then, you know, like filling in for Mel Rosenberg is no.
It's no.
You can't be a dummy and
no,
do that.
No.
Okay, I gotta
sound intelligent.
I gotta bring my A game.
Exactly.
I need to have whatever smart drugs are. I need them, and I need lots of coffee. And it's 2 a.m. And there's like one engineer and one producer there, and they're both like, "You are an idiot. You are worthless. You don't even know what buttons do."
No. That was my fear when I first did it. It was for Nick. He was not overnight, but maybe 10:00 on Saturday. And I said, "I need somebody in my ear to be like, commercial break. Okay, press that button. Now press the other button." So at one point, I found my rhythm, but it took about 2 awful segments before
I'm 10 years in here on radio and I'm still working it out.
Oh my goodness. So thank you for the help. It's great to see you.
Good to see you.
I always listen, but I never get to see you. What do you have today?
I always watch you, but I never get to see you. But we just meet on Instagram. That's
exactly
what we do.
We reply to each other's beautiful pictures.
We just hit hearts and go, hi. Great. You're so fun. Great. That's what we do.
What's up today?
Well, we're going to be talking about falling home prices in Chicago suburbs combined with rising taxes. We're going to be kind of taking a look at that. And then also, Greg Hines at Crane Chicago Business, he wrote about a new report about Chicago's workforce. And so there's a lot of change. There's kind of some surprising details, but also a silver lining to it. So we're going to take a look at that. And then, of course, because it is Lollapalooza weekend, we're going to see what we can find in terms of Lollapalooza numbers, because that is my favorite thing to do, of finding like holidays or big events and saying, how much money are we spending on this? Or how much money did the city spend on it? Or, you know, I think it's always interesting to see. Last year, I know we looked at, right after Lollapalooza, how much it cost the city to clean up after everybody.
Always people pick up on the cleanup.
I know.
Right? Because the city tells you, the Lolla people take care of it. And they yearly destroy Grant Park.
Right.
And then they resurface it, and it's super worth it for them. But I love how we always focus about, who's going to clean up this mess? And how much is it going to cost me?
Right. Who's cleaning this up? It's exactly. We go into mom mode about it. Yeah. We totally go mom about the whole city. Like, who is going to clean up these cups and stuff? Who's fixing the sod? What's that?
Cover yourself, young lady. Young man. What were those piercings?
You know, I'm all about, like, hey, flaunt it, whatever.
Amen.
Do your thing. Feel good in your skin, all that. But I'm like, I don't think I would be personally comfortable at any point in my life, certainly not now, with the...
butt cheek showing?
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, under cheek, there's a name for that.
Yep.
It's like side boob, but low.
But
under cheek. Yeah.
No, not for us.
There's no part. Because then you feel like you have a wedgie the whole time.
Don't like that. Liked that.
That's not a thing.
And with that, I thank you guys for listening today, and I turn it over to Amy Guth.